Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on? My name is Brew. We are doing another Odyssey check-in with the one, the only, singer-songwriter Hunter Hayes. What's going on, dude? How are you?
Dude, I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, it's so nice to see you. I love your new stuff, by the way. Like, we're Thank so you, excited. Man. For this new chapter and new sound. And you were talking about that on, you know, social media and letting your fans know on Instagram. What does this new era look like for Hunter Hayes?
Well, what does it look like? It's fun. It looks, honestly, it's adventurous. I started this process with an album called Wild Blue, where I was just like, you know what? Cause I felt like I was up against the wall for a little bit and maybe, was kind of stuck in a corner. And so I've started working on this album called Wild Blue. And that was kind of my chance to say, all right, I'm going to make an album the way I think an album should be made. You know, we're not going to vote on songs by committee. We're not going to, you know, just try things and just to throw them away. And this album needs to come out. And the lesson that I learned there was the one song I thought I wasn't allowed to write, you know, Dear God, ended up being the most successful song off the last album. And so Red Sky is kind of like, okay, if I've learned anything from Wild Blue, it's that when I do me 100%, people show up for it and people connect with it. And because I'm again, like, I've always known this as a singer-songwriter, but like knowing that as I write parts of my story and fragments of my story, other people connect with it as their own story. And that's my job as an artist, is to create something that other people can take ownership in. So Red Sky is a continuation of that. So Red Sky is an adventure. It looks like adventure. It looks like getting in the car and just going on the road trip you've always wanted to go on. Because I also did that literally. So it's in the story. Yeah.
I love it. When you talk about, you know, this new sound and the new album and a new creative spirit, when you're kind of experimenting with those new sounds and maybe a new, not even like genre, but crossing to kind of mixing them together, is it like scary, maybe coming out of the comfort zone, or is it having that creative spirit like easy and you feel free and it's just like almost an easier process?
Both. I don't mean to keep answering your questions that way, but but there is a brilliant element of both. I think it takes a little bit of fear because for so long things were like, you're either this or you're this, you know. But when I got into this when I was 18 or 19, like I don't know that I saw it coming, but I felt it coming. Where that wouldn't matter as much and that wouldn't matter anymore. And at the end of the day, like, my job, I feel like, as an artist, is to create my own genre. All my favorite artists have. And the road to get there, you know, you can read every book from every iconic artist and no one has the same story. No one has the same path. And so I think I've shifted my ways of understanding and learning and thinking from, well, there's gotta be like a way to do it to, formula. It looks like there are infinite ways to do it. And so I'm just enjoying that a lot more and enjoying the fact that, like, I am a singer-songwriter who makes a lot of different kinds of music, because at the end of the day, for me, it's like, I don't look at songs as genres. I look at songs as songs. They're a lyric, they're a melody. That's the core of what I work on. And then when we get into production is kind of what I consider it. Like, when I get into production and I start working on, you know, different parts, like, that's when like a genre emerges, because there's sounds that have been influenced by all the different things that I listen to. So at the end of the day, the dream is to kind of have my own, build my own genre, create my own like pocket of a genre. And honestly, I just want people to listen to my work and know that like there's kind of something for a lot of different, you know, people who like a lot of different genres are likely to find something on something that I work on, because it's kind of all over the map. And that's the fun of it, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool to hear, because that was like my next question. And you kind of answered it there, where like, you know, it's crazy that you find the genre after you do the song, kind of, because of course, when the song's out, people are going to label it as something like, oh, it's on country radio, it's country. If it's on pop radio, it's pop. So when did that feeling kind of come to make a pop song? Because some of that stuff's leaning that way. And you would say it's more so like after, and when you kind of like broke the song down and produced it, it felt more leaning that way.
Yeah. Because like I spent so much time, you know, cause like I've spent a lot of time historically, trying to make songs a certain genre. And what I learned from that is, okay, well, if I'm working this hard to make it a genre, what would happen if I worked that hard to let it be a genre and sort of like open the floodgates, you know? So yeah, I mean, it's like the songs are just written. They're not written to be anything specific. I'm not sitting here going like, I need a pop hit. Yeah. Or like, I'm definitely not sitting here going like, my next record needs to feel very pop. I write a song and it's influenced, you know, I'm influenced constantly changing by what I'm, you know, either listening to or like different playlists that I get like really addicted to, or different albums that I fall in love with. And those elements find their way into like, oh, I like the free form version of that verse lyric. I should try something like that. I should attempt that, or allow myself to attempt that, and, you know, let it fail. If it fails, if it doesn't work, nobody has to hear it. But if it works, there may be a part of my personality that really works well with this idea. So it's a lot of that. It's just like creating songs and then just turning them into whatever they're supposed to be. Could have been used a great example, because like that song went through so many different versions of itself, that the one that ended up is really honestly just a simplification and distilling of all the things that happened before it, you know?
Yeah. That's a perfect segue. I was just about to ask about Could Have Been You, dude. This is your first FU song. And I'm like, Hunter Hayes, he couldn't do an FU song. This guy's so nice. Dude, where does this FU energy come from? It's dude, like, it's, you know, you hear about like Lotto's got the big energy out. You hear Gail with ABCDEFU. It seems like that wave of FU energy songs are coming. So yeah, where'd that come from for you?
Well, we're all just going fucking nuts after the past few years. How could we not? you know, it's funny because I put that TikTok out and I said, you know, hey, I made my first, you know, FU song. But the funny part is that my fans reminded me that I've done it before. And I was like, oh yeah, I kind of have. I've just always been really polite about it. Yeah. And even this song has an element of like, I'm not going to say everything I think or feel, but I also just like, this was a chance, like, cause my old, you know, I've been surrounded by people before who have said like, well, you can't say that. You can't make that song. You can't say this. And I'm like, yeah, I can. And also when I sing it, like, it's not about me anymore. When I'm on stage singing it, like that, the people in the front row, if they've connected with the song, it's theirs. So it's not, I'm not really, I mean, I am saying it, I'm proud of the song, I'm proud of the lyric, but at the end of the day, it's like, I had to kind of undo those beliefs and say, no, if I make something that's, it's for other people, it's for them to also take ownership in. So yeah, I think this song is a great sort of like a new world for me to kind of speak my mind and know that other people, just from the clip that I posted, people are like really connecting with it. I think a lot of people have gone through a version of this and they're just like, you know what? Yeah, I'm really glad I got out of that situation, because it could have been that. And that's not it, you know?
Yeah. I don't think you get enough credit though. I mean, you've been nominated and you've won a bunch of awards, but I mean, your early stuff, so good. And I almost feel like you were on a different wave before it became popular. You know, we see these genres kind of colliding now with country and pop. Do you feel like you were like Dan and Shay before it was cool? You know?
Oh man. How do I answer that?
You were putting songs that like, if they were today, dude, they'd just be, you know, it'd be number one after number one after number one.
Man, you know what? I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate that credit. You know, like I'm really proud of that first record, because we did have a lot of challenges. We had to do the thing I'm talking about. But it hadn't been done a lot, and there were a lot of risks. There were a lot of, you know, if you go too far, if you lean too far in any direction, you know, you risk missing the mark, you know, and missing the chance to be in front of people. And And I loved that challenge. I remember that record like it was yesterday. It took us 7 months to make it, and it was 5 to 6 days a week, no time off. Like we buried ourselves in the work, and really, and when I say we, I mean me and Dan Huff and my buddy Tony, who was like a hometown friend who came, and he's a Grammy nominated, Grammy winning engineer. Anyway, mm-hmm. I was surrounded by a lot of people that I felt really safe around. And I think that was the key, you know, no one had heard the music. No one had to hear it until it was done. And I enjoyed the challenge of, cause I work in this, in these extremes. I go as far down the road, you know, if I want to try something, I do it. I dive in. And then I sort of peel back the layers, you know, until it's like, okay, all of what's left is authentic. This is all real. No one's trying to do anything that they're not supposed to do. And I think that that record set the tone for me in authenticity. Like that's the level of authenticity I have to maintain. And that's the bar, you know, and I'm really proud of the, yeah, just how we kind of like met that challenge, I guess. And really proud that that's the bar that I have to measure up to. Yeah.
You were a trailblazer. You started it all. That's what I'm saying.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I see myself as very much in the middle of a large group of people at that time who were, you know, wanting to challenge the norms and the rules. And I was very influenced by a lot of them and I'm so grateful to have a lot of them as friends and sort of not feel like I'm the only one, not feel like I'm alone. I mean, there's a lot of people who have been working towards like breaking down the walls, breaking down the barriers and changing things up, you know?
For sure. We were all looking for hobbies and stuff during those past 2 years. I'm sure you were, you know, working on all this new music and testing new sounds and stuff. But something else you did was, of course, The Masked Singer, which was so entertaining to see you on that. You don't seem like a reality guy, but any other reality shows that you would want to you'd want to try out?
Lego Masters?
yeah. F-Boy Island? No, I'm just kidding. Not quite your speed.
That's not it.
Yeah.
I love like, I've always been obsessed with like, you know, different like HGTV type things. You know, I love design and stuff like that because I think it's fun. I'm not really a reality kind of guy. That show just offered a very unique opportunity at the right time. Yeah. It gave me like 2 months to be in LA mm-hmm. Without anybody knowing what I was working on. It gave me time to write. Like I stupidly opted for the earliest slot every day, which was so dumb, but also kind of smart because, you know, we'd finish our day by noon and no one knew what we were doing. And it kind of gave me the rest of the time to write or work on the record. And also just like, it challenged me too, man, singing stuff that was out of my comfort zone at the time and pushing myself. And also just getting great training on quarantining and wearing masks before it was, you know, before it was a court requirement.
Well, that's not a bad thing to get to do. I mean, when we think about what we did during the pandemic, it was just a lot of sitting and stuff. And that's a pretty cool bucket list thing to say, like, yo, I did that show. Anything you watch? Like, what are you like watching these days when you have downtime?
Dude, I'm all over the map. I'm upset that Westworld felt like it went by way too quickly. Mm-hmm. Stranger Things. I love documentaries. I think the best thing I've given myself is a subscription to Masterclass. I feel like just like it's allowed me to see so many parallels. Like I love different classes about things that are nothing close to what I do, right? Mm-hmm. And how applicable so many of the principles of the way that different people work. The most inspiring for me, I think, was it's between two. Chris Hadfield talking about going to space and being an astronaut, and Hans Zimmer talking about scoring movies. There were a lot of things from both of those lessons that I felt like I took away, and I've fallen in love with that as kind of something I do. Even when I'm working on music, sometimes if I'm doing like a mundane task, like if I'm editing and cleaning up a session, I'll put my laptop next to my other laptop and just watch Masterclass or listen to Masterclass while I'm kind of working. It's really inspiring.
Isn't that wild? Like we still love, it's like that show, How Things Are Made. Like we still just love to see how these things are put together and just it changes your perspective and almost inspires you to, you know, do that in your own life. So
yeah.
Writing, you are a seasoned pro at this point of writing and all that. Do you find it to be easier now, whether that's like technically almost like a formula type deal, like having that rhythm down, or is it always based off your, you know, it's your season of life?
I would go, yeah, I would, if technical's this end, I would go the opposite way. I was trained so technically, I started writing by myself, when I was, whatever, 6 years, stupid songs. And I always wrote by myself. And then when I moved to Nashville, I was writing with other people professionally at a scheduled time, and you had to show up. It was booked a month in advance. And so I had to find a way to make my process technical. Right. And I got so conditioned to that, it became very I had to create my own versions of, not routines, because I'm not a routine person. It got technical, and I think I'm now kind of deconstructing that. I used to believe that I couldn't, if I had an inspiration for a song, I couldn't chase it. Then I had to bottle it up, right? I had to record a section of it and a title, and I couldn't think about it. I had to put it away, because if I thought about it, I would ruin what I would bring into the writing session. And now it's the opposite. Anytime something happens, I try to chase it as long as I can and sit with it as long as I can, and let it happen, because a lot of the songs on Red Sky started as nearly complete idea. They weren't finished, and they're nothing like where they were. So the total credit to the people that I worked with. But I started Red Sky with a lot more larger pieces of songs than I've started any other project with. And there's some songs in the project that I actually wrote by myself, which I'm proud of, because that's very difficult for me to justify myself doing. You shouldn't do this without supervision, kind of thing, And so I've started doing more just recording, 10-minute piano pieces, which turn into all the melodies for, one of the songs that you'll hear on the album. So I've tried to make it less technical. And I've taken myself, I was just talking about this 2 seconds ago, I've taken myself out of the DAW, digital audio workstation space. I'm less in Logic and all these things, and more just on digital, tape feeling recorders, because I like how analog and real that is. So yeah.
Wow, that's really cool to get the insight. What about dating? Does that get easier over time?
I wish. No. And I've gotten to a point, I haven't done any apps. I just don't think that's my vibe. I'm trusting in, I don't know what you call it, trusting in the universe, trusting in my friends. Universe,
absolutely. Not the moons and all that. You're not an astrology.
Well, not hardcore. But I there's some science, I get it. But no, I think I'm just working more on aligning myself with where I want to be and who I want to be. And I think I just have all the faith in the world that I'll have to just find my partner that way. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah.
When you let go, it seems like when it works the best. If you're trying too hard, it never really seems to work out the way you want.
I've been letting go, so I feel like my time's coming.
Yeah. I've let go so much, it better be. No. Back to writing real quick. I had a thought about you wrote with Kevin Griffin and Dan Book on this stuff, and they write with everyone. Britney Spears, Taylor Swift, all time low, different genres. So from your perspective, is writing for other genres different? I know you kind of said you don't really write for a specific genre, but lyrics are obviously different for different songs. So how is that process kind of different?
I think the brilliant part, the beauty is, for that song, and Dan Book's actually all over this record. We wrote together a lot because that experience was so great, and it happened so spur of the moment. Kevin just texted me and he was like, "Hey, tomorrow." And I was like, "We've never written together before. Why not?
The universe."
Exactly. And so I accepted it and we knocked it out. And then the second single could have been you, right? That's Bonnie Baker and Katrina Elam. Those are two writers that I've written with for 10 plus years. And we've written big songs for my career. A fan favorite from the first record is Rainy Season. And then we wrote Invisible together. And we've written so many other songs together. We have an awesome history. So it's kind of both. And I think the brilliant part about writing with, writers that do a lot more pop or other productions exactly what we were talking about before, where you're not writing for a genre anymore. You're just writing and anything can happen, which is so much more fun to do. And I think it translates. I think when you hear the record and you hear the music, you feel that we did whatever we wanted,
Yeah. for sure. Yeah. Well, my last question for you here, and I'm sure you get this like every single interview, but you're proficient in over 30 instruments, which is such a like a great like icebreaker, or what do you call it? Two truths and a lie. If you ever have to do that for some reason, maybe back into the dating world, you're trying to break the ice. But which one gave you the hardest time? Because you're so multi-talented that I feel like you could pick it up so quick. But which one was like, man, this one is giving me fits trying to learn?
I was so obsessed with mandolin for like 2 years because it's upside down. Like as a guitar player, it really tests your like.
So the chords are backwards? Like it'd be like almost.
Everything's upside down. And there's two strings you got to hold down instead of one. So it's just like, it's a muscle exercise.
Wow.
I became obsessed with it because it forced me, like I would play mandolin on the bus, you know, on the way to a gig or at the venue for like 3 hours. And then I'd go to soundcheck and play a regular guitar. And what I found was it increased the sort of like flow state that I love being in, which is hard to get to. But, you know, where if you can hear a melody in your brain, how can you recreate it in real time? And what working on that instrument did for me was sort of like unlock a lot of things and allow me to, it really allows you to believe in yourself a bit more when you have to flip it upside down and you figure it out. Yeah. So I loved the challenge of it. And I also just love it as an instrument. I think it's one of the it's one of the prettiest sounds in the world. And it will always be one of my favorites.
You ever bring that out on stage, do it in a concert, test yourself that way?
I used to try so hard to play mandolin on stage, dude. I would find the stupidest reasons just to bring that out. And I did, I played it for a couple of seasons on stage and, thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah.
Well, that's so cool, dude. Well, congrats on everything. We're so excited, like we said, for this next era, the next chapter, the next album. Is there anything I missed that's going on in your life or any message you want to give to your fans?
Man, I think there's so much on this record and it goes across the board. And I just want people to feel the adventure in it, you know, feel the excitement and, and just know that there's a little bit of something for everybody on this record, kind of by accident in a really cool way. So I'm just excited for people to hear the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, we're so excited. Keep giving us those sneak peeks on social media. I know sometimes you're probably like, management's making me do this. We love that stuff. Thanks for all the behind the scenes stuff, dude. Congrats again. And yeah, thanks for making the time and doing this Odyssey check-in. Hopefully bump into you in a sandwich shop in LA or something, you know, like we were talking about.
I hope so, man. I really do. And I appreciate the opportunity. It's good to chat with you, man. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, thanks again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.